Planning your vacation?
Why not take Pep Talk with Meg with you?
A vacation? Oh my God! Oh my God, I can't wait to go. Okay, where are we gonna go first?
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
Okay.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public confidence in government depends on one thing above all else: trust that the process is fair, transparent, and free from improper influence. Unfortunately, what the public has seen over the last several weeks has done serious damage to that trust. We have now learned through public statements, media reports, and released communications that there were extensive behind-the-scenes conversations regarding the hiring process, including hundreds of emails and text messages. That is absolutely deeply troubling.
I do want to provide some clarification around the 300 emails. If you emailed my office or any of the other commissioners, will you please raise your hand? None of you emailed us? Okay. A lot of people emailed us, and we responded to every single one of those emails. So those 300 emails are with constituents. Just want to make that clear.
If you have not been tracking the latest, mini drama at the Escambia County Commission, it's over the appointment for the Library Services Director, which turned out to be Christabel Rivera, the wife of Ronnie Rivera, as opposed to Bradley Vinson, who had been the vote by the Library Board of Governors. And this had come up before. Wes Moreno was out sick, and the board had been asked to vote on this. Lumen May had said, can we not delay this vote until he's back here? The board went ahead and voted on it at that time to confirm Crystal as the director, Lumen May.
If you can reflect back, I made the motion to postpone to the administrator being back. And so I made that motion. That motion failed, and this is a democracy. I can't help when it failed. But Derek, I'm happy to sit with you and the attorney and ask any question, because it's full transparency for me. We don't hire, we don't fire. You know, I don't even know why we ratify.
All right. So there are kind of three issues surrounding this story that have come up. Issue number one is the kind of the mean girls criticism that Melanie Luna, who is a delightful person, she's a friend, but she is the aide to Commissioner Hofberger, and she apparently sat in on at least some of the interview process. And then there was this text exchange back and forth between her and Ashley, talking about how Bradley Vinson had taken off her shoes during the interview. And then they kind of had a vomity emoji over that. And, you know, Mel thought that was unprofessional, and just kind of two friends chatting each other over text. That's one issue, is the kind of the mean girls kind of thing. Second issue is that there was a policy enacted, that's an open question, but supposedly enacted back in 2011 after all of the controversy surrounding the appointment of the person over the equestrian center, that would say that once the process of hiring has started, that commissioners and commissioner's aides aren't supposed to be involved in it at all. And because Mel was sitting in on this interview, and also because there was some conversation between either her, Ashley Hofberger, and Kristen Houle over, you know, HR stuff. Or sorry, not Kristen Houle. That's the attorney. Melanie, I think, is her name, the hiring director. Prior to the decision, that constitutes a violation of the policy that was supposedly enacted in 2011. Along with that, third question is, you know, who actually made the decision? And, of course, Wes Moreno is the person who hires these people ultimately and appoints them ultimately. And the question is, did he make the decision on his own, or was he influenced by any of this stuff? Those are kind of your three questions in what I will describe as a, you know, I still think to this day it's a minor controversy, but okay. And the reason it's a controversy is because the Board of Governors voted unanimously to pick the one person, you know, Bradley Vinson, and then Wes hired Christabel Rivera against their wishes. I would have never thought that the hiring of the library services director would be such an interesting controversy, at least to some people. And I would say that it is very interesting to some people. I don't know if the wider public care much about it. I was talking to my wife yesterday. I'm like, have you heard about this story yet? And because it's been Rick Outson has had a burr about this. He's been covering it for a long time, a couple weeks now anyway. And he's been the primary advocate on this. And then, you know, because it boiled over at the Escambia County Commission meeting, it's now been covered a little bit by, you know, we've covered it and P&J has covered it and Channel 3 has covered it. And I figured I'd talk about it a little bit because I think that what got said at the meeting was very interesting in connection with all this. But how big of an issue is it? Again, to me, fairly small. I was surprised when it was a big hubbub to begin with because, you know, there can't be but five people that attend these meetings on a regular basis. In fact, they don't even televise the Board of Governors meetings. I had a local advocate kind of raise my awareness to some of the stuff that was going on with them, and that had more to do with, like, the gun policy. It's just, you know, it's so under the radar that it's bizarre that this has become such a thing. But here we are. And the question is, did Mel Luna violate a policy in existence? Did Ashley violate a policy in existence? How much does that matter? Who influenced or made the decision? And this all happened while, you know, of course, Wes Moreno, not all happened, but largely happened in the last couple of months while he was out sick, I mean, near death with illness. And so he was involved but not involved. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. The front gate of Antioch Pensacola is backed up to Sunset Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
I kind of started down the, you know, what the average person has heard about this story because my wife was talking with me about it yesterday, and she's like, the only thing I really know is that the woman took her shoes off, and then they kind of, you know, thought that that was unprofessional. And she's like, I think taking your shoes off in an interview is unprofessional. It sounds weird to me. And I don't know the context. You know, was she wearing flips? Is she wearing sneakers? I mean, I don't know. But it's, again, that all seems quite silly to me. So Mike Kohler raises the question with Wes because it had come up again in the meeting, several people in the open forum. And then in there was a conversation about having the personnel policy and whether that policy against, you know, involving yourself in the hiring process had actually been ratified.
Before I start my dialogue, I want to make sure that Ms. Rivera knows this isn't about you. You won the vote. You're our librarian. But I do believe that we need transparency. And I do think, Wes, you need to answer a couple questions, which I gave you a heads up.
All right, so?
When Commissioner Hoffberger's aide said she talked with you and he is firm in his decision, and then the silliness with the shoes, it's just so mean to treat a fellow citizen in Escambia County like they're less than you. But I don't do a lot of emojis, so I guess that's the way we are in some people. But we all make mistakes.
So Ashley Hoffberger had apparently asked Wes Moreno about his decision, and he was firm in the decision for Crystal Bell Rivera, which is allegedly also what she wanted, okay? Because she and Mel were apparently not in favor of having Bradley Vincent from the text thread.
Wes, did you tell Melanie that?
Commissioner Kohler, I don't recall the specific moment.
You saw the text, right?
I saw the text.
Okay.
So I could start and say it like this. That statement is correct. My decision was for her.
But the way it sort of had been presented was that she confirmed that Wes was going to do what she wanted, when what Wes is saying is, no, I was doing what I wanted, and if anything, I was, you know, it was just an affirmation to her that I was firm in that decision. At least that's how I understand it.
And I'll say this. There's some reasons before that. One started with the Board of Governors meeting where myself and staff were treated very rudely, very hatefully, I almost would say. And that's putting it lightly.
And by the way, I don't have personal experience. I'm not going to go to the Board of Governors, the Library Board of Governors meeting in order to watch it. And it wasn't online, so, you know, it's difficult to get access to. This is kind of what I had heard from other people also, that there was just some weird stuff going on the board. You know, just it wasn't great. I don't have a lot of details. I don't know that I can relate to you much more than that. But that, you know, tensions and concerns and, you know, non-collegial environment was kind of the way. And that, anyway, it wasn't great. Beyond that, all I know is what Wes says, which is we were treated what he described as hatefully by that board at the meeting, which is generally not a great plan if you're talking to or about the person essentially to whom you report. And that's how he feels about it.
So that started my thought process because we have 20 departments in Escambia County. and I'm accountable for the success of all of them. And if I'm going to be accountable for success, I am going to have some say-so in who leads those different departments.
So if the board is emphatically hostile to me and my people, and they are emphatically unanimous about a person who I don't, apparently for whatever reason he didn't elaborate, doesn't prefer, well, that's actually probably a better reason for me to favor somebody else, because I'm responsible for the results of the library, and I'm not going to let, you know, some board that's behaving poorly pick a person and then moan about it to me when I actually like somebody else better for the job, since it's up to me to make sure the library runs properly.
And I saw the resumes. I apologize I wasn't here. I can promise you I'd have much rather been here than where I was. Hands down.
And he says, look, I was not influenced by a commissioner. Nobody told me how to do anything in regard to this.
But I will say this unequivocally. There's not a single commissioner sitting on this dais that told me who to hire. Not one. Not one commissioner told me who to hire.
I think that's good to hear, Wes.
That's Mike Kohler.
And I'll say this. I've made some decisions that I know probably weren't very popular decisions as some directors I selected in some other areas, but it was my decision, and it is my decision. And I'm not going to give up my authority to build my team to be the most successful we can be. I take it seriously. I've been at this for 39 years. I've always done it the right way. I did it the right way this time.
And he says he didn't know that Mel Luna was sitting in on the interviews, or at least part of them.
Quite honestly, I didn't know Miss Luna sat in on any interviews. Had no knowledge of that. Didn't know it. Didn't need to know it.
And he says, the reasons that they hire people are not only things that show up on resumes, which I very much agree with that. You know, a lot of times the resume doesn't tell you the whole story. There's been some additional, smoke, I guess, over the question of qualifications and claiming that somebody doesn't have managerial experience when she does seem to have pretty good, you know, supervisory experience over other people. And again, how that played in or didn't play into all the decision. But Wes says,
I'm working with my staff and my deputy assistant county administrator. And we've had many discussions. I was involved in not just this process, but other processes and other projects throughout the county while I was out, as much as I could possibly. And we've had some deep discussions about qualifications, experience, some other issues that come to light when you're building a team. And I made my decision, and it was my decision. Nobody else's, it was mine, and I take responsibility for it, and I will continue to take responsibility for it. And it's just that simple.
You know, watching this, and again, I feel a little bit handicapped in my assessment because I don't have personal observatory experience of the library board and how they operate and what kind of things were going on there. I kind of wish I could, because it sounds like it's the city of Milton a little bit in a different clothing. But I don't know. I haven't seen it personally. I'm actually surprised that we just even keep this board in existence. It doesn't sound like they're needed. If Wes thinks that they're so hostile and poisonous and problematic, I'm kind of surprised it doesn't just bring it to the commissioners to dissolve the board. I mean, we don't have a board for every department. We don't have a board for every operation. I don't know that we need it. I guess I wouldn't be all that surprised, especially after all of this, if they don't say, I just think we're going to have a director of the library and that's it. So we'll see what happens. There was an additional question. I don't probably have time to get into all the details, but here's the short version. The question over the 2011 policy that was put in after the Equestrian Center drama, that predates me. I came here in 2014, so I don't remember that incident particularly, but it was a, favorable hire for too much money for the wrong person, basically, who was a personal friend. It's a short version, okay, as I understand it. And the policy was put in place. There's this blackout period where the commissioner and the commissioner's aides don't get involved in these hiring processes, and they let, the county administrator do the thing. And until, at least there's a vote, and at that point, I suppose you could have, I don't know whether it prohibits you from having conversations. Ashley had done some follow-up with HR, which I actually think is good due diligence to, check out resumes and talk to people about what's going on. Should it have been directly with Wes or not? I guess that's a question. Okay. But if that's a policy, apparently it wasn't enacted fully for whatever reason, and nobody seems to quite know why. Maybe it was supposed to be enacted, but again, whether it was or it wasn't. But, you know, Stephen Barry, I don't get to give Stephen a lot of credit for things, but he made a really interesting comment. I don't have time to play it right now, but he basically said, look, we sat through the 2011 stuff. We experienced that firsthand, Lumen and he did. And so they know that drama. I think they came on the board in 2012, I got to think about that anyway. But they were intimately familiar with the concerns and with the importance of the policy. We've had a lot of changeover on the board since then. And, you know, Mike and Steve Stroberger and Ashley were not on the board then, not even close to it. And so he basically said, look, to us, it's vivid because we had that experience. To them, it's not as vivid because they didn't have it. And so it's understandable that they wouldn't have a heightened awareness to that particular concern. That was a really kind of gracious and conciliatory way of saying that even if it was wrong, whether it was officially in the policy or not, that wasn't their issue. And so it's understandable that they, you know, maybe would make this mistake, even if it is a mistake. So in the end, I don't actually think anything much is going to come of this. I frankly think nothing's going to come of this. The only outcome in my mind that's a question right now is whether they dissolve the Board of Library Governors or whatever. And we'll see. I mean, that hasn't been brought up as a possibility, but I'm just telling you my own perspective as an outsider on this is I wouldn't be surprised if that comes to a question. 625 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic on the fives.
The front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Interbay Avenue. If you are on US 98, east and westbound through Gulf Breeze, that is flowing smooth. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Frontier Motors, you know, I always talk about them, and I know you might wonder, well, why are you so emphatically in favor of a used car place? Because I bought cars and because I hate the process of buying cars. And every time I have gone through the process, varying degrees of unpleasantness, okay? But generally speaking, it's not fun. And it always feels icky. You know, I always have that feeling like they're just trying to take advantage of me. And that's often clearly the case. And in some cases, it's more you just kind of feel that way. I didn't have any of that at Frontier. I just had an easy experience buying a car that we love, that was a great price, that they worked with us on the price, and we wound up getting a car that we were really just trying to test drive, but wound up buying in the end because we liked them so much. And I literally came back to the office. I said to my sales manager, I said, we do ads for them, you know, obviously already. Can I do ads for them? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, because I had a great experience. And that's all I'm telling you is if you want a different kind of car buying experience, just go to Frontier and see for yourself. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid, love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Christy D's Bad Juju takes the stage with rock, blues, and everything in between. Each show is full of high energy and good times from start to finish. So come out and have some fun at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass. And this week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Is this not why you are here?
Good morning, 628 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I do have your headlines right here. The final evacuation flights removing people from a hantavirus-infected cruise ship where three people died have now landed in the Netherlands. The final flight carried 22 crew members from the MV Hondius to the base in the Netherlands. New report accusing Meta of not doing enough to stop scammers who use Facebook and Instagram to prey on senior citizens. A report released today from the Center for Countering Digital Hate found that 30 of the most active scam accounts drew more than 200 million impressions on Facebook, and most of those impressions from people over the age of 65. And President Trump warning the current ceasefire with Iran is on life support. He making those comments yesterday in the Oval Office. It comes as the president is set to head to China today, where he'll meet with Xi Jinping.
All right, David, thanks so much. I actually broke down and I went and looked up hantavirus on the World Health Organization yesterday. Very high case fatality rate, like up to 50% in America. Very low case fatality rate in Asia. Weirdly, it doesn't transfer human to human except in very, very, very rare cases. You pretty much have to go play with rat poop to get it. That's as much as you need to know. This is not COVID in any way at all.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump heads to Beijing tonight ahead of a historic summit with Chinese President Xi, and Iran will be high on the agenda.
President Trump rejected the Iranian response to the U.S. peace proposal, calling it a piece of garbage, as he indicated the ceasefire is on life support. President Trump also indicated that Iran made commitments about the buried uranium and then didn't include those commitments in their response.
Fox's Trey Yang said Americans who sailed on that cruise ship hit by the hantavirus are being monitored by doctors in Nebraska and Atlanta.
We are learning that the number of hantavirus cases has increased to as many as 9. Here at home, 18 passengers have returned to the U.S., one tested positive, one showing symptoms in Georgia, and 16 passengers are currently isolating in Nebraska. And while the hantavirus typically spreads from rodents, this strain is believed to have passed from human to human aboard the ship.
Fox's Alex Hogan, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's 67 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Been seeing some rain across the area as well this morning. We'll get a look at our forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the family of a man that was killed last year at the FSU shooting in Tallahassee has filed a civil lawsuit against OpenAI, claiming the ChatGPT inflamed and encouraged suspect Phoenix Eichner to carry out that attack. The lawsuit seeking unspecified damages and asking OpenAI to add more safeguards. Now, OpenAI is responding to that lawsuit. They say ChatGPT is not responsible for the shooting and that the information provided to the suspect was factual and available across public internet sources. The company says it proactively shared account information with law enforcement after the shooting and continues to cooperate. Well, Pensacola's Keela Richardson finished third last night in the American Idol season 24 finale. This is after her three-month journey, which, of course, has captivated her hometown fans here across our area. Hannah Harper ended up winning. Jordan McCullough finished second. The city of Pensacola releasing a statement saying Richardson represented Pensacola with her soaring voice and tremendous heart, and saying the city was honored to play a part in her American Idol journey. Well, there's changes coming for Walt Disney World. President Jeff Vail announcing he is retiring after 36 years with the company, his retirement taking effect in July. Vail started his career as an engineer in the Magic Kingdom. He's wrapping it up as president. He's been president now for 6 years. Vail says it's an exciting time there at Disney, and he's looking forward to his the months ahead and his retirement. Well, Florida's Gulf Coast fishermen are preparing for a record 126-day red snapper season. State officials say the expanded schedule gives anglers more access during major holiday weekends. Florida's also taking over management of Atlantic red snapper season this year, expanding fishing opportunities on the Atlantic side to 39 days. something the state's been pushing for after years of strict federal limits.
We were not allowed to manage the Atlantic the way we have been allowed to manage the Gulf.
And the recreational golf season begins on Memorial Day weekend, May 24th. It'll continue then every day from June 1st through July 31st, and there will be fall fishing weekends planned through October. Pensacola International Airport looking to take advantage of its recent growth by adding new major routes. News Radio talking with its Assistant Director of Strategy and Development, Todd Payne, who says the airport is pursuing nonstop service to several large markets, and that includes, but it's not limited to, Las Vegas, Boston, Phoenix, San Diego.
We would like to get more service to the Mid-Atlantic, possibly to more service to Washington, maybe United to Dulles. There's a lot of oars in the water right now. Even service to Nassau and the Bahamas is on our list.
And he says the airport presents those markets, each market to the airlines best suited to serve it. And they're currently talking with airlines making those efforts. It's 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. PJ has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That is brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high wage jobs and private capital investment to grow Escambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board, we do have a vehicle crash with injuries. Sunset Avenue at Brown Road in Pensacola. They're saying the roadway is open. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing some rain showers as we go through those morning hours. Rain will taper off as we head into your afternoon. Temperatures will start to warm up as we head into the afternoon hours near 81 degrees with some sunshine peeking through. Going overnight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 68 degrees, a little bit of rain all across the area, and we will keep our eyes on that today. It is 6:36, your next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Got some breaking news for you. eBay's board has rejected GameStop's unsolicited $56 billion takeover proposal. The Wall Street Journal reports GameStop had offered $125 a share in cash and stock for each eBay share. eBay shares have been trading closer to $104 before the offer was publicized, giving the company a market value of around $45 billion. Oil prices are slightly higher this morning by more than 3% after President Trump referred to Iran's most recent response to a U.S. peace proposal as garbage. West Texas Intermediate at $101 per barrel, Brent at roughly $107. The EU Commission plans to crack down on addictive design features on TikTok and Instagram. CNBC reports President Ursula von der Leyen said the EU expects to introduce regulation for platforms later this year. Governments worldwide are looking at legislation to protect children from the harms of social media. Futures are down this morning ahead of inflation data. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
Anytime they can make Comey's life a little more miserable, though, I'm okay with it.
It's fine.
You're not alone in that.
He made so many people's lives miserable.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Yeah, karma's a bitch.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Item number 10 is a discussion regarding the effective communication between the Escambia County Clerk and Comptroller and the Escambia County Office of Management and Budget.
I want to have this discussion again. I think we are all aligned, the industry is aligned, and the county and the TDC and the clerk's office are all aligned in ensuring that the tourist development tax is spent properly on legal and authorized expenditures, and we want to make sure that those expenditures are reviewed and reported properly.
So this is at the TDC meeting, Escambia County Tourism Development Commission meeting, where David Baer, the first voice here is the chair, Jason Nicholson, then David Baer, who's also on the board. And again, this is the issue about things being approved to be spent and then not being actually cleared by the clerk or comptroller Pam and comptroller Pam Childers. This is largely over the Visit Pensacola stuff, but now you've also seen, you know, at the county commissioner level, you have some additional things involving, for example, First Tee and the lawsuit with Alex Andrade representing the other side. And I think we all can agree that clarity on the issue of what funds are or are not lawful would be great. There is a difference between funds that can be spent by the TDC and funds that can be spent by general revenue from the county. But the issue with Visit Pensacola is not so much over the legality of, I mean, there is some question, because if the documentation is not given to prove that the money is appropriately being spent or lawfully being spent or can be justified with good documentation, then the question is, should she be paying it? And basically the background on this is that Pam has said, and her budget folks have said, that Visit is not providing or has not been providing the level of documentation and clarity in order for them to justify releasing the reimbursements for certain kinds of things, including advertising. And there's a long history involved in this. There's a lot of details. I'm not going to go into all of it. But the question is, you know, what can be done to improve communication so that tourism development tax money that is being used to fund Visit Pensacola's advertising campaigns, how can we make sure that Visit's doing the right thing and that the money gets released? Because ultimately, when those things are not happening, then we have a problem.
But we're having a problem with the communication still between the clerk's office and the agencies in trying to get their reimbursement.
And again, this is sort of hearsay on the part of David Baer. That's a legal technical term. You know, he's not the one having the problem with communication. He's being told by people that they're having the problem with communication, which, you know, you would ideally prefer to see folks from Visit expressing the frustrations, which, you know, Darren Schaefer has been non-renewed, I think, largely over this issue in particular. But it, again, David's the one talking about it, and talking to Ashley Hoffberger, who had come in and said that she would try to work with the clerk and get this all figured out, as she's, of course, a county commissioner.
I'd ask you if you could please just work with her to try to put together something that is reasonable and fair for those organizations who are out there spending their money. Visit Pensacola having to get a line of credit in order to cash flow their business, which is destination marketing on behalf of the county. I mean, this is, they're working on behalf of the county and they can't seem to get reimbursed. So now they have what I'm going to call a tax, which is an interest rate on top of a line of credit to be able to operate, because there's things that are being questioned that are in contracts that are already agreed to by the county that are in contracts.
Yeah, so remember all of this, that Visit is having to take out a line of credit on which they have to pay interest in order to pay for the ads that, you know, they have acquired or they've agreed to, and because they're not getting the cash back in that they were expecting, they're having trouble, you know, making that cash flow make sense. The clerk's office, the comptroller's office, Pam Childers, would say two things. Number one is it's not their fault that Visit isn't justifying and documenting the spending properly. It's also, I think she would say, not her fault that they've put themselves in a position where they are unable to cash flow ad payments that she doesn't feel are justified to spend yet. You know, for example, an ad that's going to play in a couple of months, you know, we might be able to get a bulk deal on buying that ad because we bought enough of them, but she can't release the payment for something until there's proof of performance, because what happens if the end purveyor of the ads doesn't perform? How are they going to get the money back for the county? Well, so Visit will say, well, this is how we get a good deal on the ads. And I think Pam would say, and you know, a lot of the problem is a lot of these folks aren't talking in public about this. I'm doing my best to explain it to you what's going on. And she would say, well, you know, you've built a model on getting a good deal, but you're built it on things that I cannot release payments because you can't prove that the thing has happened yet. And it was, given some of the issues we've had, it's only reasonable for me to withhold those payments. That's your choice. If that puts you in a position where you've overspent and can't cash flow that spend, then that's really your bad decision. That's not my problem to deal with. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There's a brand new vehicle crash on the board, Pine Forest Road at Stratford Road. Pine Forest is still flowing smoothly. Also still working that vehicle crash with injury, Sunset Avenue and Brown Road. Roadway is open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I mean, if you're, you know, if you're running Visit, then you know this, like at least right now, you know this is the environment. And if you choose to engage in ads that you don't reasonably expect to be paid back for right away, and therefore you have to take out a line of credit to cover them, well, I mean, that's a choice. It may not be a good business choice, but the question is whether the interest is worth more than the savings you get on the bulk purchase. I mean, basically as a math problem, right? Anyway, so back to David Baer talking to Ashley Hoffberger about her encouraging of the clerk to be clearer with the communication, or at least from his perspective, to be clearer about it.
And once a reimbursement comes back, that check amount never matches the actual requested amount for reimbursement, with little to no explanation of what's been cut. And so it makes it very difficult for the agencies to try to align and figure it out without that clear communication. So if there are issues with the reimbursement requests and there are questions to it, then let's ask the questions. Let's don't just make people guess. I think that's a reasonable thing to do, a responsible and adult thing to do. And so I'm just, if you're going to, Commissioner, if you're going to try to help this process along, I just ask that you, that we get something done quickly.
And again, I will say, having sat down for about an hour and a half, I forget, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that, with the clerk and her, you know, accounting people, and I think, well, they were, I think, pretty clear in what they were asking for, and, you know, pretty clear about what wasn't being provided, and that the level of challenge that they're having with Visit is very different from the not challenge that they're having with lots of other agencies, like 200 agencies that they cut checks for all the time that don't give them these same kinds of problems. And so David Baer, third hand, relaying that it is the clerk's office that is causing these problems. I do not consider that to be an accurate portrayal of the totality of the circumstances. Again, having, you know, talked with Pam myself and, you know, seen what they're dealing with when it comes to visit. But in any case, Ashley says...
So when we talked about this, I guess, months ago, we did, my office created a very elementary graphic on what tax dollars could be, TDT dollars could be spent on versus could not be spent on. And as we've worked together, I've learned it's not so much that, it's the paperwork that's being turned in.
Right.
So the meeting that I had with the clerk's office about a month and a half ago, also with Visit Pensacola, there is a checklist that is provided to all of the entities that submit. Unfortunately, sometimes the documentation is missing from the checklist, so that's what gets sent back.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was shown as well. Is it's not that they're creating unreasonable or impossible to satisfy standards. It's that the standards are not being satisfied, and they're saying, well, we can't release payments when you're not properly performing the paperwork.
With the contracts, we've had, the clerk's office has had several that come through, and it has a different logo at the top of the page, and that's not who the contract is with. It's more of a subcontractor. So there's been questions around that. And then for even the contracts that are agreed upon, the clerk's office is asking for some sort of deliverable attached to that for their documentation purposes. And I think that's been part of the collaboration effort between Visit Pensacola and the clerk's office. And I think they've made some headway. It seems like the last few things submitted have been going a little bit better. And it is an extensive checklist that the clerk's office has, but that has been provided to the entities that submit.
And for context here, do keep in mind that after all of this had boiled to the surface and come out in the open, the board for Visit Pensacola decided to not renew Darren's contract to be the ongoing president and CEO. So they're going to go with somebody else. We don't know yet who that's going to be, but the board had made a decision that in the totality of circumstances from their point of view, I'm not saying they're admitting that it was leadership on their side, but somehow or other in that process, leadership is going to change, right? So you have to read that for what you will. Nevertheless, David Baer, who's also a friend, and I like David and get along with him well. He's on the wrap, he's a significant figure in our community, of course. But he says...
Okay, but I'm still getting reports that they're not being communicated with clearly on what is being rejected. Obviously, I'm aware that there have been some issues with some of the submissions, but when there things are submitted and the clerk just doesn't want to reimburse them because she doesn't feel that those are tourism related, even though they meet the statutory need, they are approved expenditures, the budget to those outside agencies has been approved, recommended by this council, and approved by the county commission, the clerk is not making those reimbursements, and she's not communicating with anyone why they're being withheld.
Okay. He says, based on what he's been told by the people who are bending his ear over this, but we're really conflating two different issues here. One issue is the question of whether the appropriate paperwork and checkboxes have been performed in order to get reimbursements for something that is or would be legal, like advertising. Then the other issue is over payments that the legality of them is being challenged or questioned by the clerk. For example, the payment to the sports team and the payment to First Tee and things like that. Those are two really separate issues. Whether something is legal, and then whether the legal thing is being properly processed in order to get the reimbursement. So I feel like he kind of mashed those two things together. Both are concerns, and both are problems for the people who are expecting to get paid. But they are different sort of questions about, who's responsible for the issue and what are the issues to be solved in order to get the payments processed. 651 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about selling a home, obviously you want to sell the home. I mean, you might think that's really obvious, sort of bottom shelf stuff, Andrew. Well, yeah, okay. But the only thing worse than putting a home up for sale is for putting a home up for sale and not selling it. And man, if you have ever done that, what a frustrating process. And you go weeks and weeks and months and nothing happens. Or, people come and they see it and they don't do anything. And then, well, what's the difference? Well, could be the way it's staged, the way it's photographed, the price, the way it's marketed, the way the follow-up is done. There's a thousand things that could affect that. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, they solve these problems. They take a lot of times, I don't know how many, I haven't asked, but, I know a significant number of times they take on properties other people can't sell or just for whatever reason are not able to. And she sells those properties all the time. One that she told me about a couple weeks ago, she said that I think it was in Navarre, and the agent came to her and said, "Yeah, I can't sell this property. You'll never get more than $499 for it." And she's like, "Okay." So she listed at $625, 10 days cash sold. Now, that doesn't mean that every property is like that, but knowing the market and getting results on a consistent basis and having the experience to know what this property needs in order to make it move or what you need in order to get it on the buying side, because she does that too, of course, that's what 209 homes sold in a year does. That's 4 a week for she and her team. That is amazing number of results. And, 175, 165, and then 209, that's year after year after year. So Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they just know how to get it done. 786-3996.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's another gallery night, Friday evening in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 9. This month, celebrate Fiesta Italiana. Saturday and Sunday from 9 till 6, check out the Asian Pacific American Festival at the Phil-Am Cultural Center on West Oakfield. Experience the sights, traditions, and flavors of Asia and the Pacific during this family event. Free admission, see philampicola.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Where are you from, boy?
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, sir.
Ah.
Only two things come out of Oklahoma. Steers and queer. Which one are you, boy?
Every once in a while, you just need to let Eddie play. Every once in a while. 6:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. PJ is sitting in for John all this week with traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Pine Forest Road at Stratford. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Oh, quick note. I was talking about the hantavirus earlier. Really didn't want to have to talk about it at all, but I was explaining how the fatality rate is high, but the transmission rate is very, very rare for human to human. There is one strain of it that they kind of discovered after an outbreak in New Mexico several years ago, actually killed a few Navajo, I guess, in the Four Corners vicinity in 1993. That was the first time they'd ever seen one that transferred basically from rodents and then to humans and from humans to humans. It's still a very low transmission rate, and generally speaking, this is not the big story. It's just, I just get tired of things. The more you try to convince me that it's the big story, the more I just don't really care, honestly. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
It's time to panic. Panic, everyone.
Just, yeah, no, not interested. We've had my once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. I'm out of pandemic panic. I'm all out.
That is fair, and I'll go with that. Well, officials in Texas believe a body found near railroad tracks in Bexar County is connected to the six people that were recently found in a boxcar in Laredo. In a news conference yesterday, Their Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar said that Union Pacific Railroad police found a body near the tracks. ICE investigators say the bodies were part of an apparent human smuggling operation. A new report accusing Meta of not doing enough to stop scammers who use Facebook and Instagram to prey on senior citizens. The report was released by the Center for Countering Digital Hate, found that 30 of the most active scam accounts drew more than 200 million impressions on Facebook. Of course, most of those impressions from folks over the age of 65. And young people in the U.S., Andrew, feel less positive about the job market than older people. It's the largest gap of any country in the world. A new Gallup poll finds 43% of Americans 15 to 34 think it's a good time to find jobs compared to 64% of those 55 and older.
You know, this dovetails with something else I was reading yesterday. A New York Times piece was talking about why aren't people making babies, you know?
Right.
And, you know, one part of this problem is, well, they're not having sex. You know, it's actually one part of the problem. But the other, basically her takeaway was people are sad and depressed, yeah, and don't think the future holds great prospects for them. And so they aren't, you know, getting married and they're not making babies because that's a very optimistic act. You know, you bring children into a world when you think the future is going to be better, and they don't think the future is going to be better or good. And so that's the short version, is that all of these kids are, you know, sitting at home doing social media, doom scrolling, made to be depressed, and they're sad about the future. And so they're staying home and staying single.
I know a lot of people who've chosen for economic reasons, yep, not to have kids. As a matter of fact, that's why I didn't have any kids till I was 40.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks who are in that category. So I think that's an interesting take on the why, but basically they're sad and depressed about the future. Of course, what I like to remind people is, so you live in the most prosperous country in the history of humanity, and your problem is financial reasons not to reproduce. Poor people make babies all the time. You can too. It's okay. You know, it's a weird place.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.